Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
6 seconds to go. Comes in to Tucker. Ewing sets a screen. The shot is off. Loose ball. Ewing goes up. The basket counts.
Hello, and welcome everybody to another episode of Strick and Roll. I'm your host, Schwinny Pooh, and this is episode 60. I'm joined by two very special guests who I'm sure nobody is familiar with. The first is Sam, that is at FBL underscore Sam on Twitter. Sam, how are you doing?
I'm here. Day off from work, so I can't complain.
Nice. Well, it's good to see that you're alive and kicking and functional today. Very happy to see that. Zach is also here, our additional guest. That is at Zach Blatter underscore on Twitter. Or is it underscore Zach Blatter?
I don't know, actually. I forgot. I should probably know that.
Yeah. Either way, you can follow him on there. He also is the host of Takes from Obvious Bozos, our other podcast. Zach, how are you doing?
Doing great. We have a very, very special segment we're going to get into, but some business to take care of first.
Yes, and that business is The Strickland has an Instagram. Check that out. That is at The Strickland Instagram. We post all kinds of new content on there. The Strickland also has a YouTube channel where you maybe watch this podcast. If you aren't and you have not done so already, please hit like, subscribe to the channel, leave us a comment. That'd be a huge help to us. The Strickland also has merchandise, which you can find on our website at www.thestrick.land. There's a link that'll take you to the merchandise store, and you can find all kinds of cool stuff on there. T-shirts, sweatshirts, hats, coffee mugs, water bottles, you name it. We've got it. Strickland also has a Patreon, which you can subscribe to. There are a number of different tiers. The $6 tier that gets you access to Pot Strickland, the podcast that I host every Friday with Prez. You also get access to Takes from Obvious Bozos, the newest podcast that we have that is hosted by Andrew Steele, a.k.a. Doug, along with the aforementioned Zach Blatter. And you get access to the Strickland's Discord, where the conversation never stops. There's a further tier. There's a $9 tier that gets you access to Strick and Roll, this pod right here that I host, where I rant and rave with the Knicks even more. You also get access to wonderful premium articles by Matthew Miranda, one of the best in the business. And now you get access to Strictly NFL, our NFL podcast that is hosted by Constantine Metricos. There are further tiers. There's a $15 tier, $30 tier, $50 tier, and $100 tier that's going to a variety of additional benefits like listening to pod recordings, merchandise discounts, and even potentially co-hosting a podcast alongside yours truly one day, whether you choose to subscribe or not. And this will be possible without you. And none of this would be possible without Cut. Hey, Believe Nation, as you all know, we've partnered with Cut, the social betting platform. Cut is a peer-to-peer betting platform that allows you to bet directly against your buddies and other fans. That's right. You can join the Believe Knicks crew on Cut today and bet directly against me, Schwinny Pooh, or Zach, or Sam on your favorite sports, pop culture, and politics topics, which is insane. Cut is the ultimate put your money where your mouth is platform, and it's legal here in New York. Be sure to follow at CutBet on all your social media channels and download the app via the App Store or cut.com. Use promo code BelieveKnicks for a 10% welcome bonus. Again, that promo code is BelieveKnicks, B-L-E-A-V, Knicks. And we also are sponsored by the wonderful, beautiful Bet Online. Bet Online, and once I get this open, we're gonna find out all about Bet Online here. Bet Online is your number one source for all your summer sports this season, from MLB, golf, NBA, and NHL playoff stats. All the latest stats, news, and scores available to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today or use mobile device to get into the action. Bet Online, where the game starts. All right. So we are doing a little special segment, special episode. I'm going to let Zach introduce this, as this was his inspiration, and he did all the legwork. I just told him we could do it here.
Okay. Welcome, Schwinn and Sam, and the people at home, to the 2024 inaugural Strickland Awards. Okay. First, I want to credit Uniball, our guys, Trill Bro and NBA Baby Secret. You know, they did a pod recently, the Uniball Awards, and we loved it. We want to do our own little spin. Some of these are going to be Knicks Awards. Some of these are going to be NBA Awards. Some of them are going to be a little more serious. Some of them are going to be a little unserious. You know, we're just going to be in for the ride. I'm going to read the awards. I'm going to read the nominations. I'll let Schwinn and Sam give their picks. If I have to give a pick, maybe if I have to be the deciding vote, I'll give mine. If not, I won't. Maybe I will. We'll play it by ear. We'll see how this goes. But without further ado, do you have any questions about the awards before we get into them? Or are we all good? All good? All right. Our first award. This is a more serious, you know, it's a classic NBA award. This is Knicks Individual Performance of the Year. We have four nominees. We have four nominees for most of these awards. The first one, Jalen Brunson's 50-point shooting clinic in Phoenix, where he had 9 of 9 three-point shooting. And he just owned Kevin Durant, and he owned all those losers in Phoenix, and we cooked them and got a big win, and that was amazing. Second nominee is Dante DiVincenzo's record-breaking 40-point, 11-of-20 three-point shooting game at home against Detroit. It's kind of a useless game against Detroit, but hey, we won. It was close, and he also broke the record for Knicks three-pointers made in the game. He broke Evan Fournier's record. Third nominee is Jalen Brunson's 40-point, born-to-play basketball spectacular against Indiana. This was the same night that he was named an all-star. It was the same night that he got hit in the face and then fought through it and got sick and won. And then Breen was like, Jalen Brunson, born to play basketball. And all of us cried and had tears. And it was an emotional, amazing night.
I'm pretty sure Tyrese rubbed one out.
Yep. I also might have. The final award is Deuce McBride's 29-point, 9-of-13, hyper-efficient game while he also locked up Stephen Curry in Golden State at their arena. It was pretty amazing. We also had a big win, and those are our nominees. So Brunson's 50, DiVincenzo's 11-of-20 three-point game, Brunson's 40, born-to-play basketball game, and McBride's 29-point plus lockup defense on Curry game. Who is your pick, Schwinny Poo?
I just want to say that one game that has been criminally left off, Julius Randle's 39-point, 9-rebound game against Minnesota, the first game after the OG trade. Thought he was fucking
considered.
Awesome.
He was
amazing in that game.
Yeah.
He was awesome. Anyway, get well soon, Big 30. Sam misses you so much. I love the 50-point shooting clinic in Phoenix. Like I probably watched that more than any of his other performances this year, just because fucking 9 for 9 from three, and like some of those threes were ridiculous. He has the one that like bounces off the side of the rim, hits the fucking backboard, and then goes in. That's an awesome one. The DiVincenzo one is really good against Detroit, but like it's Detroit, you know. Honestly, it was pretty hilarious how hard they were trying to get him the record in the second. So, like, it's a little, like, not exactly, like, a high-stakes game. The Deuce McBride one against the Warriors is awesome. That was when he got put into the starting lineup. Not for the first time, but for the first time with Brunson active. And, I mean, I'm not going to say it saved the season, but I definitely think it gave them a little bit more juice when OG was still out. And they needed it, so that was pretty big. They beat Sacramento the game before, and then they beat Golden State, so that was pretty sweet. But I think it has to be that Indiana one, because it's like it's a comeback win. That might have been one of the first games without Randle and OG. I think it was.
Might have been, and
you know the Garden was fucking hopping that night. The crowd was like, there was just kind of a buzz the whole game.
That's when he got announced as the All-Stars. Too.
Yep. And you could tell, like, you know, Precious had some awesome moments in that game. Hartenstein was awesome in that game. Everybody just kind of, like, contributed. But Brunson, you know, he brought home the bacon. And, you know, it's everything about that game. Like you mentioned, he gets hit in the face. They don't call it. Indiana gets a fucking layup, they take the lead. It's like a very ridiculous call to miss, but you know, they battled through that. You could tell his emotions were high. You could tell the Garden was like feeding off of that. And then, you know, obviously you get the Jalen Brunson born to play basketball call from Breen. They actually blow the lead after that. I think he made a shot that put them up 97-91. They actually go down 100-99 at one point. That was after he got hit in the face. Obviously, they come back and win. But then after the game, he does the interview with Alan Hahn on the floor, and he's like basically in tears almost. So I don't know. That's like kind of a, you know, like Carmelo Anthony has the Easter game. Yeah. Like this was like Brunson's kind of his regular season anyway, signature moment, at least so far as a Knick. I thought this was like, you know, everything about that game and the consequence and significance of it. Also, like, didn't Haliburton do some, didn't he get DiVincenzo teed up in this game? Or was early that the game for
it? Might have been early in this first game. Yeah.
Yeah. He was just like fucking annoying because he's Tyrese Haliburton. So it made that part of it sweeter as well. But yeah, it was an awesome performance. And, you know, obviously everybody on that in the team contributed that night, but this was definitely Brunson's kind of like big moment.
Sam, who's your pick?
It's really hard to top that pick, honestly. That is initially my pick. But if I were to go over a close second, I would probably say it's Deuce's 29-point game on the road versus a Golden State team Golden State's been hungry all year. They're trying to stay in this play-in race. The Knicks, they're trying to, you know, keep their season where they are, you know, trying to keep themselves out of the play-in, whereas Golden State is trying to keep themselves, you know, safely, securely in the play-in. And I would say, you know, this was sort of like a revelatory kind of game for Thibs and the Knicks for what they could see, what they have with Deuce in this like starting unit. And this kind of led to a string of games where Deuce was like consistently one of our like best starters every single game on that West road trip. And it really helped us out a ton. So yeah, I would say the significance of just like Deuce having that game and the defense that he played on Steph Curry was amazing. Like, I mean, Steph still got his numbers, which he's going to do, but Deuce didn't make it really easy on him when he was on him. So I would say that's my close second right behind the Jalen Brunson born to play basketball game.
Yeah. My pick would definitely be born to play basketball, but I do have two honorable mentions that I should have mentioned earlier, but the first one is OG Anunoby's 26-point, 6-steal game against Denver when we just wiped the floor with Denver at home. It was like OG's one of his first games as a Knick, maybe like his third or fourth game as a Knick, and we just dominated Denver, was never close. It was like up by 20 in the first half. It was an awesome game. And the other honorable mention was Brunson's 61-point game in San Antonio, which we lost, which is kind of why it's not on here. And we're going to talk about that game later, so I don't want to get too deep into it. So we're going to move on to the next award, my personal favorite award on this list. It is the Josh Hart quote of the year. You heard me. It is the Josh Hart quote of the year.
I like that you had six nominees.
Yeah, this one, I really wanted to keep it to four nominees, but, you know, I had to make this. Actually, I had seven nominees originally. Now it's down to six.
What was the seventh?
I don't remember. I do want to shout out to Fred Katz and Bondi, because what I did to get these is I literally just searched Hart under their Twitter names and I just like looked through all their tweets about Hart for this year, and I got a lot of these quotes, so shout out to the beat. But I'm gonna name these six quotes. Here we go. So the first one, this is the early season one. This was shortly after Hart had a couple games where he didn't even break 15-20 minutes, and he was like kind of in this weird role where he was just off the bench as like a weird 2-3 thing, and he wasn't getting the minutes he was getting last year.
He also said something about his role on offense.
Yes, right? He said something about his role on offense, and he was complaining about his role. And then a couple of days later, he went up to Fred Katz, I believe, and said, "I'm not a disgruntled player. Make sure y'all tweet that shit." And ever since then, he like started playing pretty well. He got his minutes up, and I think he just like got it off his chest, and you know, it was all good. You know, "I'm not a disgruntled player. Make sure y'all tweet that shit." That was one of my favorite ones. Our second nominee is this is after the Knicks just scraped the Brooklyn Nets. And he said, it was in Brooklyn, by the way. We scraped them in Brooklyn, and like the crowd was just going nuts for the Knicks. And he said, "It's like that SpongeBob meme when Squidward is looking out the window and he sees SpongeBob and Patrick having fun. McCall is Squidward." And this was awesome. This got aggregated by like every big basketball account. This was made into like 20 million memes, 20 different quote graphics, 20 different, like, this was a Hall of Fame moment from Hart, in my opinion. That's definitely one of them. Third nominee is right after Brunson was announced as a non-starter in the All-Star game, Damian Lillard was starting after him. They asked Hart, they said, have you seen that Brunson is not starting in the All-Star game? And he said, yeah, fucking loser. Really like that one. This one was, I believe this one was after Brunson's 61-point game, or maybe after one of his other like really high-scoring nuclear performances, where he said, I think the next step is telling Tibbs to shut up and start calling more of the plays. That'll be the next step. But Jalen's too nice of a guy to do that, so maybe I'll have to tell Tibbs. So he was basically saying that Jalen should just start calling plays for himself and Tibbs should just shut up. But Jalen won't do that because he's too nice, and he'll have to just start calling plays for Jalen. Next one, this was after the thriller against Detroit, where it ended on a weird buzzer-beating and one layup from Josh Hart.
This was the other game.
This was the other Detroit game where Dante had 11 to 20 3-point game, and the Knicks were clearly just trying to get Dante this record, and it was the fakest offense ever. We were just like, let's get Dante a shot, please. And Monty Williams was like complaining about how he got the buckets or something after the game, and then Josh Hart responded to Monty Williams by saying, if he didn't want to be part of the story, he should have pulled his guys to defend better. And then the final nominee, maybe my personal favorite, but not something that might be remembered by money, is on the day that the Knicks acquired Bojan Bogdanovic and made that trade, they asked Josh about it. They're like, what do you think of Bojan? And he said, well, we needed a backup four. And that one was just amazing because I think Josh is clearly like on NBA Twitter, and I clearly heard the Knicks need a backup four, or Josh Hart's your backup four, like all that talk. And he just shut it down and trolling all them. And so those are your nominees for the Josh Hart quote of the year. So, Schwinn, who's your pick?
Personally, I would say it's either the SpongeBob one or the yeah fucking loser one. I think it's probably the yeah fucking loser, just because it's like. Because I think right after he said that, he obviously went on to be like, you know, oh, Brunson's awesome and all that stuff. But, like, he can't like, not fucking take a shot at Brunson, right, when he has a chance to. Which is kind of like what Brunson was talking about in that post game the other day, where he was like, yeah, our secret is that we actually all hate each other. But, like, I mean, that is kind of like the vibe of the team. They all just take, like, you know, they have fun at each other's expense. Just, you know, like you joke with your boys and shit. The power of friendship. But like, that's, I don't know. That one is just so fun. It's like, that's exactly how I would imagine, like, when if something good happens for my friend or something, but you like, you're like obviously happy for them, but you can't just be like, oh yeah, congrats. Like, so like, you know, he's obviously happy for Brunson to make the All-Star game. But it's like, oh man, if I can get to take a shot at him because he's not starting, perfect. Like, I'm definitely gonna do that. And it's like the most Josh Hart, like, just quick one liner. Just get that out there and move on. I think that's the one. The SpongeBob one is really. I mean, that's the one that every non-Knicks fan will remember too.
Yeah,
which kind of makes it awesome. But I'm gonna go with the yeah fucking loser.
Cool, Sam. What's your pick?
My pick is the Monty Williams one. If he didn't want to be part of the story, he should have told his guys to defend better.
That's just because you hate Monty Williams, though.
I wouldn't say I hate Monty Williams, but I hate, like, loser coaches. So, like, I love that Josh Hart was able to just, like, own this loser who was, like... Monty Williams has only been upset in losses versus the Knicks. He hasn't been so adamant about any other loss this whole entire year. And the Pistons have a ton of them because they suck ass, mainly because of him and his rotations, because they do have a ton of NBA talent. But, I mean, you look at the Pistons, they're absolutely ass. Monty's been, he's been shelving it the whole year. He didn't want to coach. He told them he didn't want to coach, and they still paid him. So, like, the fact that Josh Hart was, like, you know, able to just, like, own this loser and kind of just, like, put him in his place, I like that shit, you know?